Together with my associate, Bess Karelitz, we are interviewing Hilda Krymer at her home on December the 8th, 1999, for the Oral History Project, National Council of Jewish Women. Take two, side one. Hi, Hilda, again. We're glad to be back, and we want to talk to you more about what you've been like in your life. Now, you said some of the things you thought of you wanted to mention to us again. Why don't you, before we get started with our usual questions, why don't you tell us what you'd like to tell us?
Well, I have to go back to my days at Pitt.
Good.
That I worked in the phys ed department, and I had earned enough other credits that I had a major in physical education as well as science. And as a result of that, I taught physical education in the city of Pittsburgh Public Schools, my entire teaching career. And there were practically no other Jewish phys ed teachers at the time. And I was pleased that I stuck with this and enjoyed my many years of teaching. All of my classmates at that time, during the Depression, my Jewish classmates were all in sociology because they were going to be social workers. And when these girls graduated as sociology majors, everyone got a job because of the Depression and the many people they needed to do the visiting to these people that needed financial help. Social agencies were big at that time, and that's why I think that most of the Jewish girls were in that department at that time. One of the other things when we were talking family, I forgot to mention, which I think is important because it has to do with the Jewish situation. My sister Frieda, her son, Joel Miller, was a pilot for LL. He was there during the Six-Day War also. He married a stewardess from TWA who came to Israel very often, a Jewish girl. They married and lived in Israel, and she was pregnant during the Six-Day War and spent several of her days down in the shelters where they had to escape from the bombs. Her daughter was born there, and in the meantime, Joel Miller, the pilot for LL, started to be on very dangerous missions because he was transporting ammunition back to Israel from countries that they were getting help from. Their daughter was born in Israel, and then both families of Joel and his wife convinced them that it was too dangerous for them to remain in Israel and they should move back to the States, which they did. They came to visit me when they had their little girl. They came here to Pittsburgh to visit, brought her in the basket that they said they carried into all the bomb shelters in Israel. They're still carrying the basket, and the baby was in there. It is interesting to note that this baby grew up to be an airline stewardess today. She is with United Airlines. But they did take her back to Israel to show her where she was born, and the many days before she was born, the many days she spent in the bomb shelter. I thought that was interesting enough to note. They live in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona today. And what Joel has done pilot-wise, he was with the United States Steel, the private pilot for them. But now he chose to be grounded, and he's not flying anymore. I thought that little note there with being with LL would be very interesting. The other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, I also.
What was the baby's name?
Her name is. Oh, wait a minute. Her name is Maisie. And they. She was supposed to have been named after her mother, Frieda. And where they forgot about it, I don't know. And they named her after her father, whose Hebrew name was Maisie. His name was Morris, and they named it after him instead. And we were all disappointed with it. So however, she is an airline stewardess today, but that's a little interesting note there. As an adult, and I look back to the Jewish-Christian relationship in the West End, I just marvel, and I think today, of what went on then, with how the clergy, the Catholic, the priests, and the ministers were always concerned that my parents were either included or knew a situation. The priest came one day to tell my parents that he had just told her friend, her best friend who was to be married, a Catholic girl, that she could not have Bertha Reuben as a bridesmaid because she would have to take communion. In those days, they had to do that. That is not so today in 1999. There's lots of intermarriages where this does not take place. But they made a point of coming to tell them, not rely on the bride telling them, but they wanted to tell. Also, one other thing that I want to tell you in relation to the respect they had for my parents. The high holidays, we walked from the West End to the Tree of Life Synagogue on Kraft Avenue in Oakland. And I must tell you that I didn't like the holidays then because I could never wear my new shoes. You can't walk from West End to Oakland with new shoes. I always had to carry them and change them before I went into the synagogue. It was a long walk from all the way Carson Street, across the Point Bridge, onto the Boulevard, and into Oakland. And I look back today and I think, that was terrible if we did it, because that's what my parents would not ride on the Sabbath, and especially on the high holidays. Even Rabbi Halpern didn't think that that was a very good idea, and he told them at the time that it made no difference. The other thing of note in the West End is the fact that whenever the churches had a fundraising bazaar of any kind, my mother, knowing all of the business people so well since we were in business, she would go around to the business people and get articles for the bazaar for the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church, whoever was having the fundraiser. I think all of that sort of helped too for their relationship. The other thing is a little humorous because I have to tell you this from the beginning. The Methodist minister came to my parents and said, since his daughter and me were friends, he wanted me to come after school to the Epworth League, that's E-P-W-O-R-T-H, Epworth League, which is sponsored by the Methodist Church. Epworth, Epworth League, which was a national situation with the Methodist Church. Children went there after school for activities. Reverend Whitlatch said to my parents that he would like me to come to Epworth League after school. There was nothing religious in the activities. It was primarily crafts. They did things that they made and they were able to take home or whatever. And he promised my parents that I would not be included in anything religious because it did not exist with the Upper's League. So I went, and it was fun. And
I'm sorry, I didn't get his name.
Whitlatch, W-H-I-T-L-A-T-C-H, Whitlatch. And I belonged to Upper's League through grade school. And then I used that particular word much later in life. You know, I taught school and retired when my child was born. And I was in retirement for about 10 years. And then they called me and said they could not get a phys ed teacher to go to this particular school. Would I please come back? So I did, because my daughter had already started to Taylor Alderdice High School. And I knew she wouldn't be home at noon for lunch, so I was able to stay. There was one teacher on that faculty that wouldn't even look at me. And I had understood later that she was a pillar of the Methodist Church in Munhall. So I thought, well, I'll take care of her. So this day in the lunchroom, I said, "Miss Sherwin, I want you to know that I belong to the Epworth League." And needless to say, she was shocked. And what she said was, "Where?" And I said, "At the West End Methodist Church, with a special invitation from the minister." So all I can say is, after that, she looked at me and said hello, which I thought was really, I used it, I had kept that in the band. Let's see what else I can come up with now.
Those have been wonderful stories. You know, Hilda, I was going to start with you today and say what happened between the time you had Joberta and moved into this house when she was in the first grade, and the time you went back to work, and now you started. Tell us, Hilda, what school did you?
I went back to Mifflin Junior High School. Now, the Mifflin School is located at Lincoln Place, and there's something that was a fluke as far as the political part of wards were concerned. You go through Homestead and Munhall, which is not in the city of Pittsburgh, and then you arrive at Lincoln Place, and that's where Mifflin Junior High School is. Very often I was asked about teaching outside the city, and I said, "That's West Mifflin. This is Mifflin." So that's how the only way we could straighten them out. I went there to help them out for 2 weeks, and I stayed for 12 years. I just loved it. It was just great.
When Joberta was little and you didn't work, what did you do? What kind of activities? Or when you, before you went to work, between the time she was born, you were active in some organizations, what kind of activities did you do?
Well, let's see. Actually, I did some very interesting interviews for the Council of Jewish Women. And I did that with a very wonderful person. She was very active in the council. She lived on Beecher Boulevard. Visit prominent people. We went to visit Dr. Kurtzman, K-U-R-T-Z-M-A-N, who later saved the university from financial failure. he was head of the Economy League of Pittsburgh. And tell you the truth, I don't know why we were interviewing someone like that, but apparently it had to do with community and things that council was very much interested in, naturally. We were in very much in the political scene too. We went to visit various politicians, hearing their plans for the city and so on. And we went to the mayor's office at that time, and the mayor must have been
Lawrence.
Who was in office then?
Mayor Lawrence could have been in office.
Yeah. Much after Mayor McGee, after before you were born.
Well, I'm sure there were some very outstanding.
Yeah, but anyhow, that was one of the projects at that time. And I had a good time. They were making all these arrangements, and I was enjoying sitting with these prominent people. But I think the big report was written up by this wonderful person that chaired the committee. And as I say, I wish I could tell you the real reason behind all this, but apparently it was to just get a survey of what was going on financially in our city, which Council of Jewish Women just didn't stop with small stuff. They were getting to the bottom of everything. Council of Jewish Women and what else did I do? PTA. Yeah. I did PTA on a citywide basis, which I ended up heading the organization. It was every month the presidents of every PTA met at the Board of Education. And we planned things citywide and hoped to help PTAs in schools that were not as not of the caliber of Colfax and other schools in this area and also in the East End, so on. But it was strictly citywide, not suburban at all. That took my time, that and council and.
Were you devoted, were you active at Tree of Life?
Well, my activity started pretty early at Tree of Life. And primarily, I would say after she was born. And my mother, who had been secretary, believe it or not, 1912, and I found the bylaws she had, dated 1912. And I did a lot of things for the sisterhood and ended up being president of the sisterhood.
Before you went back to work full time?
Here's what happened. I was president of the sisterhood, and along came the phone call to return to teach, which I accepted, and managed to finish the end of my regime. It was close to the end anyway. And then, of course, I became a full-time teacher again, and I couldn't do as many things as I wanted, but I did take part in things that were in the evening. Part of that.
What were some of the things you did before you became president? You said you did many things.
Oh, at the synagogue.
Mm-hmm. Sisterhood.
Yes. Sisterhood. I'll tell you, I did a lot of writing then with another person. I was part of the theatrical end of things. We did programs, big programs, for our annual luncheon, which was a big event for Sister Fay. And I would say events that brought in like 200 and 300 people. What else did I do? Oh, I know. I was busy. And
well, let's go on to when you went back to work. Can you tell us something about the atmosphere at work and the school that you taught in, what kind of a school it was?
It was a wonderful school. There were no Jewish children at all. And that didn't make any difference because your religion doesn't enter into it. However, I will tell you that at no time was I covered. I always took part with the music teacher and the history teacher and so on with doing the Christmas play. And it was a program, and never was religion entered into it the entire time I was there. Not because they respected me so much as the Board of Education had sent out a letter saying that the religious part of Christmas should not be a part of the Christmas program. I taught the children the Torah. They started the Carl Havanagila, Harvey and Sheila. I always got a kick out of that. And the children got a kick out of it, too. Are we going to dance today to Harvey and Sheila? Yes, we're going to dance to Harvey and Sheila. this was my entire experience at this school, which was, as I say, all Gentile children. These children spent the last 2 years, they went up through the ninth grade, and then spent three grades, 10, 11, 12 at Alderdice, which was quite a trip for them, but that's what went on in those days.
Is that the only school you taught at?
After I returned. Mm-hmm. I went in my entire teaching career. My first career was Crescent School in the Homewood District, which was primarily Italian at that time, not black. And the black people that were there came from very fine families. Dr. Henry Primus is a product of that school. His father was a pharmacist. We had the editor of the Courier newspaper, the black people's newspaper. And we also had a young man by the name of Randall, who was an attorney, was a graduate of our Crescent School. Of course, we also had a few children that didn't do well. Spent some time in a reform school, but I wouldn't say that was a majority at all. It was a very fine population. And I remember one of the Italian girls I taught came to me and asked if I could, after she graduated high school, could I get her a job at Poli's restaurant as a waitress? And she said, yeah, I know the Poli's are Italian and I'm Italian. So I went to, being a frequent patron of the Poli restaurant, I spoke to Mr. Poli about it. And he granted her an interview, but couldn't hire her because she was a little over 4 feet tall, and he said she wasn't tall enough to carry the heavy trays, and that's the only reason she wasn't hired. What else can I tell you?
What about your social life when you were married? What did you do in the social life? What are some of the things? Did you go on family vacations?
Did I
go on family vacations?
Oh, yeah. We were a we first started by going to Cape May, and of course the rest of the family were over in Atlantic City, but we would go over to see them, which was about an hour away. We spent many interesting vacations at Nag's Head, and the one time I finally got my husband to go to Williamsburg, because we went to Virginia Beach and were bored. And I said, this is the time we're going to go to Williamsburg. I couldn't get him to go before that because he said, that's something you should visit with your school teacher friends. That's not for me. I don't like to see the restoration of anything historical. I like to see the original. So for that reason, we never went. When we were in Virginia Beach and became very bored with it, I said, we're only an hour from Williamsburg. Let's go there. So his being so bored, he called there, Nag's Head, at Williamsburg. And he said to the man at the desk, I would like to have a reservation. And he said that they were filled. And he said, but call back in a few days and maybe we can take care of you. He said, what is your name? And he said, Mr. Pitt. My husband said, well, my wife and I are both Pitt graduates. Would you take care of us now? And he said, all right, when do you want to be here? He said, tomorrow. So we packed up and left. And Williamsburg is such a wonderful restoration of things historical that he just was greatly impressed, and we returned to Williamsburg many times after that, many times.
What about your social life? Was your social life involved with the Tree of Life people, or did you have extended social life?
I had a lot of my college friends. We all belonged to, well, not all of them, a lot of them belonged to Rhoda Sholem Temple. So I had experience with going to temple with my friends, and of course Tree of Life was naturally my first love, having gone there all through Sunday school, and my entire family having gone there for bar mitzvah and confirmed. In fact, they just hung a confirmation picture up on the wall where my sister is in the class, confirmation class of 1917, and another picture is on the way from another member of my family, and my other sister who was confirmed from Tree of Life in 1919. So those pictures will be hung very soon. I guess it doesn't sound like I'm very social, does it? But we had friends in Tree of Life, and we had friends at Rhoda Sholem, and we socialized. We had a bridge club made up of both Rhoda Sholem friends and Tree of Life. Then, of course, came the war, and seems as though my husband, who was in the Army for 4 years, which I think I mentioned before, the other people in the bridge club didn't seem to go. He was the only one that had to go. And I don't know what the others were involved in, but they didn't seem to be called, unless they were older. I don't know. I don't remember. We had quite a nice social life. We had a group. We did just the things that you do here in the city, anything that came up. Rhoda Sholem Temple. My next door neighbor had a daughter who was involved in dance in a big way in New York. And she would bring a group to Rhoda Sholem Temple who actually performed on the pulpit. And it was of religious nature. And it was so unusual that anything like that would be done in a synagogue or in a temple. that even my husband kind of said, "Oh, I never thought I'd live to see this. I mean, this is really pretty far-fetched." But it was done, and Rabbi Jacob thoroughly approved, because in the finale, he, part of it was he walked up and opened up the door the Torah. So, anyway, that was that experience. Part of this group came from New York. Part of the dancers even, I had them stay here at the house because the family next door didn't have enough room for them. We went to theater a great deal. My brother Jerry Rubin, being the one that who had the automobile agency in Homestead and fixed, had arranged with the man that was a, one of the officers down at the what theater was it? I guess the Nixon Theater, and he always managed to have tickets for the big shows, and naturally we were delighted to join.
End of Take 2, Side 1. Continue.